Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Job chapter 1. We're continuing a series that we started at the beginning of the year in which we're talking about mirror, mirror on the wall. And we've talked about this several times. You know, the thing about mirrors is they show what's there and they show what's not there. And part of this series is to help us with our vision for this year, the third year of our vision, 2020 vision, to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus clearly. Well, the way we're going to see Jesus is if we display the characteristics and reflect the characteristics of Jesus in our life. And we've talked about what these characteristics are. These characteristics are, first of all, integrity. Integrity, doing the right thing, Not apologizing for this, but I'm going to stick with doing the right thing. I'm going to be the person that I claim to be. If I'm a follower of Christ, if I proclaim that, then that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to stay true to that. That is integrity. And we said the second thing was, we looked at Samuel and Samuel's life. You know, when Samuel, one of the things, he came to a crossroads really at one point in time in his life. Should I tell the truth or should I fudge a little bit? Should I hedge on this a little bit? You know, but he didn't. He went ahead and told it the complete truth. And we talked about how that we need to take that challenge of saying, you know what, no matter what, we're going to be honest people and to stick with honesty. That's a characteristic that we need to be displaying. The third characteristic that we talked about was the characteristic of humility. And humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less and putting others first and doing that. So that's humility. And then loyalty. Loyalty is, we talked about being loyal to your family, being loyal to friends, being loyal to your faith, being loyal to God. Loyalty is that next characteristic. And then actually 2 weeks ago, we talked about authenticity, being genuine, being real, being sincere. That is a characteristic. And then finally, last week, we looked at the final characteristic up to date so far, and that is the characteristic of having the desire, the discipline, and the direction of following Jesus Christ and wanting to finish the race well. We talked about that. That really is what self-control is all about. And that brings us to today. And before we look at the passage today, before we read that, I want to talk about a man. One of my favorite football players of all time was a man by the name of Walter Payton. Walter Payton passed away not too long after leaving football. But Walter Payton played 13 years in the National Football League. During that 13-year time, he rushed for over 16,700 yards. One of the things about, I love to smile for one thing, but I love to watch him run. I mean, he just had a sweet run. He was called Sweetness. He just had a sweet run to him every time he had run. So in that small football field of 100 yards, he ran in his 13-year career a total of 9 miles in that short space. They compared the number of times he ran to the number of yards he ran, and they found that he was actually knocked down every 4 yards. So he didn't really get very far when he ran. You know, he was just short pieces of time. He was knocked down in his 13-year career. He was tackled over 3,600 times. You know, so, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot of success in the short run, just running every 4 yards and then getting knocked down. I don't know about Walter Payton, but man, if I had been there, it'd be very tempting seeing you getting knocked down every 4 yards very hard. It'd be very tempting just to quit, you know. And I believe that is what a lot of us face in this life. We face this four-letter word a lot. By the way, this is 13 points in Scrabble if you want to use it sometime. But 13 points, but it's of little value anywhere else. Every day we're facing the opportunity, should I quit this? Should I quit what I started? Should I quit? As a matter of fact, 250 pastors quit on a monthly basis. That's just to give you an illustration from my job perspective. 250, there's a temptation to quit all over the place. When we get knocked down, we're just so tired. You know, we just want to just throw in the towel. just this once. Well, this passage that we're talking about today and the characteristic that we're looking at today is the one of perseverance. And it's from the book of Job. And I want to read beginning in Job chapter 1, verse 13. And it reads like this. One day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, while the oxen were plowing and the donkeys grazing nearby, the Sabaeans swooped down and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. The Sabaeans were enemies at that time to Job. He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, God's fire fell from heaven. It burned the sheep and the servants and devoured them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. That messenger was still speaking when yet another came and reported, the Chaldeans formed three bands, made a raid on the camels, and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshipped, saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. So let's get through this quickly here. Still talking about the perseverance in the book of Job. And several years ago, at the age of 28 years of age, a lady by the name of Diane Nyad decided she wanted to try to swim from Cuba to the Key West, Florida. And she had a great start, went as far as she could. It's about 103 to 110 miles, and she failed. She wasn't able to do it. So she decided to try again. But her opportunity to try again wouldn't take place until about 33 years later. So at the age of 61, she decided to try it. And this time, she got a little farther than she did the first time. But there was, in this area, that's very shark infested. There's also jellyfish, a man of war. And so she suffered a lot of stings on her as a result of trying to swim this. And as a matter of fact, she also has asthma, and she went into respiratory distress in the second time that she tried this, and she failed and wasn't able to do it. Well, a month later, she decided to try again. And this time, her shoulder started hurting her, it really bothering her. She was having a very difficult time getting through again. Maybe it was too quick after the first time that she tried, and so she had to quit again. Well, on the fourth time, a year later, at the age of 62, she tried again to swim from Cuba to Key West. And this time, she made it over 76 miles. Again, about 103, 110-mile journey. Made it that far, and again, she had to quit due to storms. Also, those jellyfish stings again, so she had to quit. Finally, she tried one year later at the age of 63 years of age, and she made it. She swam a total of 110 miles and went on the shore there in Key West, Florida. And when she got on shore and was walking, reporters were surrounding her, congratulating her for everything that she did. She had a 35-person support team to help her with this swim that stayed in the boat next to her, kind of encouraged her. If she needed anything, you know, they would provide it for her. So this is what she said when she came ashore. She said, I've got three messages. One is we should never give up. Two, you're never too old to chase your dream. And three, it looks like a solitary sport, but it's really a team effort. But I like those first words that she said. We should never give up. Never give up. She tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed, tried and failed. Never, never give up. I like those words. And I know in the course of life, in this journey of life that we go through, we all have problems. We all face problems. There are all times when we just don't want to continue on. We just can't continue on. But there's three things that I think we need to remember as we take away from the book of Job. Number one is this. We are going to face problems that will make us want to quit.
we are definitely going to face problems that will make us want to quit. If we look back at verse 22, the Bible says in chapter 1, throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. Now, what is all of this that it's talking about? It's talking about what took place in verses 13 through 18. And in verses 13 through 18, Job had problems. Job had troubles. I mean, that's kind of an understatement, isn't it? Remember when, well, you don't remember, but when the Great Depression started, what started that? They refer to it as a day called Black Monday, when the stock market crashed and it began the Great Depression. That was Black Monday. Well, Job is having the blackest of Mondays here. He's having the darkest of days. All this took place within 24 hours, if you can believe this. All this is happening to him. First of all, you see that there's his enemies that kill some livestock that he has, that kills his servants. As a matter of fact, he had 3,000 camels. You know what the going rate of a camel is on the market today? I was hoping somebody would know, but I think it's about $15,000 to $20,000. $15,000 to $20,000 is what camels cost today. Some theologians and historians estimated, if you look at everything, because chapter 1 says that Job was one of the greatest men in the East at this time. He had all this wealth. He had all this together. People have looked at all the livestock that he had, everything that he owned, and everything that he owned was valued in today's market of about $43 million. And he lost it all. Now I believe this. The Bible doesn't say this, but I believe that Job and his wife were planning on going over to his oldest son's house for dinner. Maybe this is a time of fellowship that they did on a regular basis. You know, the Bible says that the older son continually did this. You know, maybe they did this on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis. I believe they were planning on going, and all of a sudden they begin to get this bad news. All of a sudden they begin to get all these news that are going on, and it's delayed their trip. So they are not with their oldest son in his house. And you hear that saying that goes, cheer up, things could be a lot worse. Well, guess what? Job cheered up and things got a lot worse in his life, didn't they? Because as he and his wife are trying to come to grips with their total loss economically that they've experienced, I'm guessing maybe one of them turned to the other and said, you know what? It could be a lot worse. At least we have our family. At least we can count on this. We may have lost all this, but at least we have our family. And no sooner had they said those words than a messenger showed up and said, you may want to sit down, because your son and all your family were together for that get-together that you were going to be at. And guess what? A high wind came in, tornado winds came in, and the whole building collapsed and everybody died in that building. And so we see here that Job is experiencing problems. Problems. It's problems. We are going to face problems that will make us want to quit. And what do we do when we're neck deep in problems? When we've got alligators at the door and they're just all over the top of us and we've got all these problems, what do we generally say? We generally say something like this: how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this one? You know, oftentimes that's a question. How do I get out of this? When we're facing problems, how do I get out of this? But there is a better question that we need to be asking when we're facing problems. The better question that we need to be asking is this: what do I get out of this? And you know why that's a better question? It's a better question because we need to understand this. Problems in God's hands are not tools to tear us down. They are tests to build us up. Every problem that you and I face, every problem that we experience, all the problems that we're facing right now, in God's hands, they are not tools to tear down our life. They are tests to build us up. So the better question that we need to be asking in any problem, and I'm preaching to myself too, guys, any problem that we're facing, anything that we're experiencing, all the troubles that we come across, a better question to ask is, what do I do with this? What is going to happen with this? Not how do I get out of this, but what do I get out of this? What is God teaching me through these problems? Because the problems that we face are going to be enough to make us want to quit. That is a great question to ask in the light of wanting to quit. There's something else we need to remember. There are people that we're going to face that's going to tell us to quit. There are people that, and you probably already experienced this, how many times have you been going through things, people say, you know what, why don't you just give up on that? Why don't you just quit on that? As a matter of fact, his wife, in chapter 2, verse 9, Job's wife, I wish we knew her name, we've just known her in history as Job's wife, but his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Maybe you're like me. I've heard this passage taught. I've heard this passage preached for a lot of times over the years. And are you like me? And every time I hear this taught, Job's wife is always on the negative end. I mean, Job's wife is talked about like she's really a terrible person. I think that we need to give Job's wife a break. I really do. Because one of the things I forget when I read this story is that Job's wife has experienced a great loss too. I mean, Job's wife lost her family too. You know, if there's one thing that can be said about Job and his wife is that there is this difference. His wife operated based upon feelings while Job operated based upon faith. I mean, it was her feelings, it was her emotions that got the best of her. And isn't it interesting? She uses a word here that we talked about at the very beginning. Are you still holding on to your integrity? Are you still wanting to do the right thing? Are you still trying after all this time, after everything that we faced, you're still wanting to do the right thing? Forget that. Forget that. That was the one mistake I see that Job's wife made. But come on, after all that she experienced, I think we can give her just a benefit of the doubt. That's just me after all this time of thinking about Job's wife. We are going to face people that are going to tell us to quit. But I tell you what, Job not only faced his wife in telling him to quit, Job faced three friends. The great news about this story is that Job had three great friends. The bad news about this story is that Job had three great friends. And they're telling Job to do one thing, forget your faith. You know, there is a process that we have to follow here, Job. Here's the three things that Job's friends knew about this process. Number one, God is holy and must punish sin. That is a true statement. God is holy and he is going to deal with sin. That's what they knew. The second thing that they knew is that obviously if God is holy and he's going to punish sin, God is punishing Job. That's part true. That's not exactly true, but Job is going through some things. But they look at this on the surface and say, you know what? God is punishing Job. Therefore, if God is holy and is punishing sin, and Job is being punished, Job must have sinned. So they're saying, Job, forget all this faith. Just repent and say that you've done the wrong thing, and let's move on here. This is the only way we're going to get past this. But Job said, you know what? I have not done anything wrong. This doesn't make sense. He held on to his faith. He said, I'm going to wait and believe in God and see where God takes us with this. I'm not going to just do this so I can get out of a tough jam. And there's two things that we need to remember when it comes to facing problems, facing troubles. Satan still operates exactly like he did with Job, because there's two things that Satan wants to do in times of trouble. He wants us to get us to quit on God, which is what Job's wife was trying to convince him to do. And he wants us to quit on our faith, which is what Job's friends were trying to get him to do. So when we face problems, there are going to be people that try to get us to quit. So what is it that we must do? Well, the Bible says here, the last thing that we see here is this. We're going to need the perspective that ensures that we don't quit. We're going to need the perspective that ensures that we don't quit. I want to read from Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. And it reads, then Job stood up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshiped, saying, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. Verse 20 begins with these words. Then Job stood up. Then Job stood up. That is the perspective when we're facing trouble. Now, why did Job stand up? Because of what he knew to be true about God. because of what he knew to be true about God. You know, years ago, before 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, before all that, they used to have maps. As a matter of fact, they found one of these maps, an actual map in England of where the charted maps, navigational maps, where people that went out in ships would use, they would use these maps to try to determine, okay, where they should go and where they shouldn't go. And they would only go to places that had already been charted, that people had already gone to. And on this map, they had places that people had not visited yet, that people hadn't gone to. And so people would write in these places that here be demons, here be dragons, here be death. You don't want to go past this spot in the Atlantic Ocean because here be dragons. There's just bad stuff that exists there. We really don't know what's there, but we can only imagine that it's going to be bad. There's a British explorer by the name of John Franklin who was very godly. As a matter of fact, if you Google this or look this up, this map, that had these words written on here, here be dragons, there was a British explorer that actually took a pencil and he crossed out, here be dragons, here be death, here be demons. He crossed that out and he wrote this, here be God. Here be God. Because perseverance is what's going to happen when we understand that no matter what is going to happen tomorrow, no matter where these problems are going to take us, here be God. I want us to remember that. Here be God.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30, but if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.